From the unexplained to the mundane, come join us on a journey to the fringe. Hello and welcome to Journey to the Fringe, home of the secret fashion advice, which you don't know about. Now, it's not good fashion advice, but it is in every episode. So you should go back, give it a listen, see if you can find it.
Every single one.
We are your podcast hosts, Taylor and Chelsea, here today following up on a two-parter, which Chelsea has informed me she does not remember any of the first half of.
Hey, why are you outing me like that? That's not fair.
It lets the audience know that we are being honest with them and not deceiving them.
And also that they're not alone.
Yes.
Possibly, unless they're listening to this back-to-back, then boy, do you have a problem.
Especially if you don't remember the first half. Anyhow, Chelsea, what do you remember about the Gulf Breeze incident and Ed Walters?
Right. Okay, there's a guy in Florida.
Running for mayor.
Running for mayor. Yep, thank you for the hint. And he was making models and taking pictures of them like Billy Meyer. But this guy did have two arms. I do remember that.
This guy had two arms, and he was using a schoolboy in the area who happened to be the mayoral candidate against him son.
Okay, it's all coming back to me. I'm not right there with you, but I do remember.
So, this story is unrelated to that story, pretty much.
Oh man, why'd you set me up like that?
But it's adjacent to it, Chelsea, because it takes place in Gulf Breeze.
Okay.
And it's right around this time. Because of all the shit going on with Ed Walters, MUFON decides, after the shit show that is the Bill Moore 1989 MUFON Symposium, they need something that's a little more just like a slam dunk.
Right, that was bad.
So they're like, I know what we're gonna do. 1990, we're gonna do the MUFON Symposium in Gulf Breeze.
Because of this guy? They couldn't have found anything better.
Almost exclusively because of this guy.
This is the best they had. Okay.
Which, coincidentally enough, is right around the time that the Gulf Breeze Six are arrested. And that's what this episode is the Gulf Breeze Six.
I'm just gonna be honest here. Should I know who that
is? You should have no idea who the Gulf Breeze Six are, Chelsea.
Phew!
That's why we're doing this episode.
Great. This is fantastic news to me that I did not have any prior knowledge of this.
Now, I am just going to put it out front. There's not a lot written about the Gulf Breeze 6. There's basically a pretty terrible Wikipedia article on it. There is one person who did a fairly good summarization of what happened and a bit of research into it. The author is Jack Brewer, who wrote this on February 12th, 2017. Falcon.
He seemed real good and knowledgeable.
And honest. No, it's Jack Brewer. He wrote the article Revisiting the Gulf Breeze 6 on February 12, 2017 on his blog, The UFO Trail. So we're going to be reading a lot from this because he did some great research on it.
Nice. We appreciate you.
Just to start this off, just so you have an idea what we're talking about, the Gulf Breeze 6, Michael Kweckstad, Chris Perlock, William Setterberg, Vance Davis, Kenneth Beeson, and Annette Eccleston were declared absent without leave, which is AWOL, from their base in Augsburg, Germany on July 9th, 1990.
You mentioned this in the last one.
Sorry, and this was West Germany at the time, not Germany.
What does this have anything to do with?
They are arrested 5 days later in Gulf Breeze, Florida. All six were military intelligence analysts who had trained together at Corey Station. From there, just so you have an idea of what the Gulf Breeze 6 were, just the general one on that. Weirdly, right around the time of the MUFON thing going on, they're arrested in Gulf Breeze.
So the MUFON thing is the symposium that's happening based on, what's his face?
Ed Walters.
Ed Walters, and now we know who exactly the six are. What the fuck? I'm so, like, what's gonna happen? Okay, tell us.
This is a wild story, Chelsea.
I can't even begin to think about what this is gonna be.
Because of Ed Walters, the Florida community of Gulf Breeze gained global attention. As a result of this, Gulf Breeze was the site of the 1990 annual MUFON Symposium, just a year after Bill Moore cannonballed his MUFON Symposium. Six Army intelligence analysts were serving in the 701st Military Intelligence Brigade in Augsburg, Germany, the largest NSA base in the world outside of the United States at the time. Each member of the group held a top security clearance. They began conducting meetings consisting of Ouija board sessions and explorations of non-ordinary states of consciousness, and they claimed to think that they were communicating with spirits and religious icons, including the Virgin Mary, during these meetings. The six apparently perceived they were provided prophecies and interpreted the predictions to be coming to pass, leading them to increasingly trust the means of communication and alleged entities. Members of the group had lifelong interests in paranormal subject matter, including one, Vance Davis, who as a teenager took a course in Silva mind control, and another, Kenneth Beeson, who dabbled in hypnosis and reportedly was interested in UFOs. They reportedly went over the proverbial wall in early July 1990 after giving away some belongings, ceremoniously burning their records and books. Another figure is a self-described psychic, Anna Foster, who Perlock met while in cryptology training in Pensacola prior to shipping off to Europe. Foster apparently also befriended Beeson when he was stationed in Pensacola. All but Eccleston, the lone female of the six soldiers, were reportedly staying at Foster's apartment while absent without official leave. Eccleston was apprehended at a cab site at nearby Fort Pickens for whatever reasons. The group's beliefs and motives for going AWOL were somewhat unclear, but were at least partially represented to include a desire to deliver information as provided by the mysterious entities to the U.S. president. It should not be completely surprising that some of the confusion was due to the content of statements originating from the Pentagon and spokespersons after the detention of the six that later redacted through official channels or denied altogether by the former soldiers. Also adding to the confusion were statements by members of the Gulf Breeze 6, which at times seemed to be unclear if not lacking logic. What's more, some of the acquaintances were quoted in the media as saddling them with remarks and beliefs that they later denied. Ideologies attributed to the group included a forthcoming rapture, alien spaceships frequenting Gulf Breeze, a UFO cover-up conducted by the US government, a plot to thwart the Antichrist, significant malevolent forces operating covertly within the US government, and similar mindsets arguably being found with increasing frequency among members of the UFO community and related genres. Some of the beliefs were later defended by Vance Davis and his peers, while others were dismissed as rumors. Any way you look at it, the six were a pretty paranormal friendly bunch, or at least claimed to be, and landed in Gulf Breeze about the same time that the MUFON convention wrapped up on July 8th. The six were apparently in Tennessee a few days earlier, where they bought a van and drove it to Florida, arriving on July 9th, and according to Gulf Breeze police.
I just want to make sure that I'm understanding this correctly. They went AWOL and ended up around the MUFON happening in Gulf Breeze. Okay.
They left Germany on July 7th. The MUFON symposium ended on July 8th, and they were apprehended on July 14th in Gulf Breeze.
And the MUFON was wrapped up by that time.
Yes, but they could have been in there around that time. It's just that they were in Tennessee the day before.
But we're finding a connection between the two, but eventually, maybe.
I don't think there's that much of a connection. It's just really weird coincidence, timing-wise.
Okay, and they are into the paranormal. Okay, I just wanted to make sure if I was understanding it correctly. Okay, yeah. So they did not go to the... Maybe they did. Maybe they did go to the...
Yeah, that's actually something that nobody can confirm, but it's not... Okay. It's surprisingly not important to the story.
Okay, I'm just trying to wrap my head around what's going on. Okay.
So Huexat soon crossed paths with local law enforcement when he was pulled over in a van for driving with a faulty taillight, and the entire group was eventually detained on July 13th, 14th. The six were transferred to the custody of intelligence agencies and taken to Fort Benning, Georgia, and Fort Knox, Kentucky for interrogation. They were soon issued general discharges and released with minimal consequences. Three of the six, Beeson, Eccleston, and Huegstad, returned to Gulf Breeze, arriving back in town within 3 weeks of first having been taken into custody. Beeson said he returned to the area because of friendships he developed, according to an August 4th, 1990 newspaper article titled "The Three Discharged Soldiers Returned to Gulf Breeze Friends." This story raises a ton of questions.
Yeah, I have many of them myself.
How the six navigated international airports without being detained from leaving a German base?
How does that happen though? Would there, if someone's considered AWOL and maybe you don't have the answer, I don't know, would there be like a warrant for them that airports would be looking for them?
Here's the thing. If you're traveling for military purposes, you don't have the same visa as everybody else.
Oh.
So generally speaking, you're supposed to have permission to leave if
you're trying to leave the country. Or potentially even a passport.
Well, you would have your passport.
Okay.
It's just that you would not have a travel visa. You would have whatever the military equivalent is, which would specifically say you're here for this purpose. You can't leave without permission.
And sorry, what year was this again? 1980?
1990.
Okay. Pre-9/11, so maybe a little more lax.
Yeah. And it's even pre-Germany. It's West Germany they're in.
Okay. I think those are my questions for now.
A partial explanation might include information contained in a July 19th, 1990 New York Times article. Quote, the Pentagon said that two of the soldiers went on authorized leave from their unit in the 701st Military Intelligence Brigade at Augsburg, West Germany, about 2 weeks ago and never returned. At the same time, two other soldiers from the unit vanished and officials suspected that two more who were on leave would not return. Military authorities issued a worldwide alert for the six soldiers on July 9th. So they kind of did have an okay explanation for that.
Okay.
Not all of them, but at least a good amount of them.
Okay, another quick question. Is this real?
Perhaps. No, it is.
It is real. Okay.
Yeah.
That's all my questions for now.
Now, that might account for how they managed to get stateside combined with circumstances reported in an article from the Northwest Florida Daily News, which suggested the group used forged leave papers. Before the worldwide alert was issued Monday the 9th, Beeson and Huickstad could feasibly have made it to Tennessee by Friday, July 6th, as reported was the case by the Pensacola News Journal. The two reportedly planned to meet the other four. Some, however, including Davis, would later speculate intelligence officials knew of the group's plan all along and were monitoring the journey.
Okay.
A piece in the July 19th, 1990 edition of the Pensacola News Journal indicated Robert Hall, an Army spokesman, stated authorities didn't know how the six got to the United States. The author of the article also obtained comments from Stan Johnson, a contact of Beeson's in Tennessee, who apparently picked up Beeson's at Huickstad at the Knoxville Airport on July 6th and helped them buy the van. Quote, he did mention about going to Pensacola for a UFO convention, end quote. Johnson was interestingly quoted as recalling about Beeson. First, the article indicated the MUFON conference was held in Pensacola July 6th to 8th and reported MUFON officials stated, quote, they could not say whether Beeson or Huickstad attended any of the symposium sessions, end quote. However, Anna Foster, the psychic they were staying with in Tennessee who opened her home to the group, apparently did go to this. So they probably did go. In what appears to be the next day's edition of the same paper, the July 20th, 1990 Pensacola News Journal, a story is published titled, quote, soldiers were to expose UFO scam. Sister says. The article highlights Beeson's sister and her husband, Carolyn and Charles Reed, explaining how Beeson, quote, said they were going to expose a government cover-up of reports that aliens have visited Earth, end quote, although the couple did not seem to take him particularly seriously. The article continued, quote, the Reeds said Beeson also told them that Foster had introduced him to a UFO group that believed the government was covering up alien visits to Earth, end quote. Quote, if anybody should be arrested, it should be that lady, end quote. Charles Reed told the News Journal about Anna Foster for what it may or may not be worth. The article concludes, quote, the Mutual UFO Network held a symposium on UFOs 2 weeks ago, July 6th to 8th, but the group did not endorse any positions on government cover-up, said Don Ware, a Fort Walton Beach representative of the group. Although Ware said Foster had attended the symposium, Foster refused comment again Tuesday night, end of quote. So it does seem like they did attend this thing.
Okay, this is weird.
Among the more dramatic of the storylines to emerge from the saga involved the Antichrist. As quoted in the News Journal, members of the Six were being held at Fort Benning and that Major Joe Padilla, a spokesman for the Pentagon, said he didn't know why they left Germany or anything about their religious beliefs. Gulf Breeze Police Chief Jerry Brown was similarly asked for comment. The article explained, quote, when he was told of the Stars and Stripes report Wednesday, Brown said, I don't believe that. Who is the Antichrist? And that's referencing that they were told that they were there to kill the Antichrist. One of the weird stories within this.
That is weird.
If the Galt had talked about destroying the Antichrist, that person should have a name, he said, end quote. According to a Georgia MUFON state section director, who described a Fort Benning doctor as his source, at least some of the Gulf Breeze 6 claimed to believe that the Antichrist did have a name, and it was Ed Walters. In an August 4th, 1990 letter to MUFON, International Director Walt Andrus, the section director wrote, quote, "In regards to your request that I try to meet with the soldiers here at Fort Benning, Georgia, who were involved in the recent end-of-the-world deal at Gulf Breeze, Florida, the following negative report is submitted. I was unable to meet with the soldiers who were being held in the stockade, and my fraternity brother, who is a doctor at the base hospital, couldn't get me in to see the two men who were on the psychiatric ward. All I could get from the doctor was relatively the same as that which was out on the media wires. The soldiers had originally met while stationed together in Germany, and they believe that the UFOs are works of the devil. They also supposedly claim that Ed Walter is the Antichrist, and that is why the UFO activity has been so heavy in the Florida panhandle.
Oh,
I'm sorry, I wasn't able to get anything better on this, but the people of the Provost Marshal's office weren't very receptive to the idea of a UFO investigator." End of quote.
Interesting.
Other points of interest include Vance Davis describing his mastery of, quote, "self-hypnosis through active imagination," end quote, as taught in silver mind control courses that were held in Alex Merklinger's school in New York. Davis reported to interact with entities through such techniques.
That seems like a very funny thing. My thought process went, wow, I could be really monetizing a lot more things, even if I just made them up. I could be an anything boss.
People in the UFO community, 98% of it is made up at point.
Totally, which really sucks because I love UFOs, but 90% of it is totally made up.
Yeah, it really makes it a problem for that other 10%.
It really does. I still believe in them, though.
It actually is funny that that is like a general idiom within the UFO community, that 90% of it is fake and 10% is real.
Really is something that a lot of people say.
Oh, even Stephen Greer says that a lot.
Everybody in the UFO community, it's just, even if that 1% is real, that's something to look at.
No, they say 90-10, and then they say, but even if 1%.
Even if one is real. There's people who say that too. Even if there's one that's real. Huh. Okay. Yeah. That was my thought process.
Okay. So Davis stated that one of his Gulf Breeze 6 colleagues, Kenneth Beeson, was practicing hypnosis techniques in an interview published in the January-February 1995 edition of the North California MUFON periodical titled Case Briefs, Exploration and Review. Quote, "Did you receive the information from sources other than the Ouija board?" End quote, the interviewer asked.
Oh, no.
Vance replies, quote, "The UFO documents came from a woman with Ashtar Command in Germany."
Oh, no.
"That was the Cooper Report and other documents. We didn't really get anything from work, but we started seeing things differently. The first thing that really got us moving, and they didn't put this in statements, was the Iran earthquake that year, 1990. Because we were told about it 30 days before it occurred, we were also doing hypnosis," end quote. Quote, "Was Beeson hypnotizing you?" End quote. Quote, "Yeah, it was a relaxed state like Edgar Cayce used to do. We were doing a lot of parapsychology research, a whole lot of it. We did tarot cards and all that kind of stuff. We were trying to disprove all of the stuff until the Ouija board happened and some stuff."
That,
end quote.
When you're doing hypnosis, you're in a state, you're in a very...
It's very different from Ouija boards.
Yeah, but you're in a very perceptive state when you're doing hypnosis. So if you're being hypnotized and then you're bringing tarot cards and esoteric things into it, that's the suggestion. And that's the problem as well with like regression and stuff with UFOs. You're in such a state of being able to be suggested pretty much anything.
Which is the real problem that reverse reverse hypnosis runs into?
Any hypnosis.
No, but regressive hypnosis, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you're regressing in the pretense of going into another life, an abduction or something like that, you're in a very receptive state of pretty much, if you're even led a little bit, you're very receptive to anything that's going on. So what she's saying with tarot cards being brought in, that's very leading to where they're going.
Just and a Ouija board.
Yeah, it seems like there might have been a bias in this hypnosis, which might pose a problem.
Especially when we've seen a few terms come up like Ashtar Command.
Yeah, doesn't seem like it was completely neutral is all I have to say about that. As someone who does know how to hypnotize, by the way.
Two of the Gulf Breeze Six did end up writing a book called The Unbroken Promises, a true story of courage and belief. This is written by Vance Davis and Brian Blashaw. They further describe
what?
The group's
session. They wrote a book?
Yeah, it's called okay. Unbroken Promises. And they make this statement in this book. Quote, this third session ended up giving us the name of a woman in Munich that would have some information for us on the alien and UFO situation.
But they were already in Germany.
This is when they leave. The woman's name was Gabriel. We did indeed find that woman in Munich, and she gave us some information and documents that were interesting, to say the least.
Okay.
That paperwork was taken by the officer that arrested Mike Quakestad in Pensacola. We never saw it again. End quote.
Oh. Okay.
The sessions included perceived interactions with biblical icons, Mark and Mother Mary, the latter of which curiously seemed to have arrived via the Ouija board to answer questions for Annette Eccleston, who, quote, grew up a Catholic but was no longer a practicing Catholic, end quote. Oddly enough, such activity in the vicinity of the base and interest in the subject matter may very well not have been limited to the Wayward Six. There may have been others involved who didn't end up leaving. Beeson's sister and brother-in-law, the Reeds, told the Pensacola News Journal, the man claimed to believe the rapture was imminent and his group of 12, not 6, was prepping. The News Journal reported, quote, he also told the couple that before the second coming of Christ, the group, which Beeson said numbers 12, would emerge and try to convert people to believe in Christ, the Reeds said, end quote. For what it's worth, the Northwest Florida Daily News piled on, citing Stars and Stripes as reporting there were indeed more interested parties. Quote, a number of their unit told the newspaper Stars and Stripes the six were out to find and destroy Antichrist, the figure the Bible says will challenge Christ. He spoke on the condition his name would not be disclosed. Padilla, an army spokesman at the Pentagon, Wednesday retracted an earlier statement that said the six were members of a group known as the End of the World. But Stars and Stripes quoted the soldiers from Augsburg unit as saying the cult has additional members in the area. There are others who are upset they didn't get invited to go along on the search for the Antichrist, the newspaper quoted the soldiers as saying. There is also an unsigned typewritten note presumably sent to the U.S. Army and all the major TV networks and wire services demanding the release of Breeze 6 as reported on August 16, 1990 in the Gulf Breeze Sentinel. The message in question was also reported by Jacques Vallée's via Revelations, his book. The message in question was also reported by Jacques Vallée in his book Revelations, among other sources. The Sentinel article stated, quote, Mark Curtis at WEAR Channel 3 first shared his intriguing note with the Sentinel 2 days before the announcement that the Gulf Breeze 6 were discharged from the Army and released, end quote. The message contained in the note, which was reported to have been typed in all caps and accompanied by images dated in full, quote, ABC, NBC, CBS, AP, UPI, US Army, : free the Gulf Breeze 6, period. We have the missing plans, the box of 500 plus photos, and the plans you want back. Here is proof with close-ups cut out. Next, we send the close-ups and then everything unless they are released. Answer code AUGSBB3CM, end quote. The guy who wrote this article, he submitted 4 FOIA requests on the Gulf Breeze 6, one of the NSA, asking they conduct a mandatory declassification review, or MDR, of the file referenced by Coppins. He stated 1,400 of his 1,600 pages were withheld, so perhaps more at some time in the future, maybe more will be released. He also requests the NSA provide records pertaining to investigations of the individuals and their activities, as suggested in the newspaper clippings. He also requested that the Army conduct an MDR of file referenced by Coppins, as well as related records on the group. Newspaper clippings establishing the existence of such Army investigations of the six were offered in support. The CIA, FBI were queried. The files requested on interactions with the investigation of the Gulf Breeze 6. Offered in support was a July 19th, 1990 article which stated Gulf Breeze Police Chief Jerry Brown said that no arrests were made and the six were turned over to the CIA and FBI before going to Fort Benning. Also cited was a July 17th, 1990 clipping which attributed the police chief Brown with stating the FBI, CIA, and NSA called the Gulf Breeze Police Department following the soldiers' detention. but nothing was released. It is truly a bizarre case that really isn't explained that well at all, or that well known at all, and is very hidden.
No, I can't make heads and tails of what the hell is going on here.
Basically, it's just they started in Germany, they went to Gulf Breeze, they got arrested, and then quickly released, and then didn't say anything again.
That was it.
Now, one of the six did a Art Bell interview on Coast to Coast in the 90s.
No.
But I could not find it for the life of me.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Sorry, I was finding it. I had to pay to listen to it. I didn't want to pay. So.
Oh, shit. Yeah, no, that totally checks out. Yeah.
That's where our research ends, guys.
What?
Oh, I just mean in general. If we have to pay, that's where our research ends.
No, yeah, I totally get that. Okay, I'm not that offended because I'm not paying either.
Is that not, like, the most bizarre story? Like, it doesn't make any sense at all, but, like, this happens right after Ed Walter. It's very likely this group of six thought he was the Antichrist, and they weren't the only six. Like, there was more people around it. And they get arrested right around there, right when MUFON's like, okay, we need to get rid of this whole thing with the Bill Moore and just make it clean. And these guys show up.
They seem to just happen congruently, not together.
But some of them seem to have shown up, but they don't want to admit it.
MUFON may have also been covering it up because of Bill Moore.
Yeah, no, they couldn't
get any more bad press. We can't afford to go through this again. But it's so weird. Anything is possible with hypnosis, though. If they had someone legitimately doing hypnosis with the power of suggestion, it could be literally whether it's the Antichrist or not.
It's not only the power of suggestion. They had Ashkar Command on their side.
And that's enough.
Yeah.
But logically, the Antichrist doesn't make sense to me because this guy was clearly making it up. But if you get hypnosis in there...
No, and Chelsea, very simply, if you believe he isn't making this up and you believe UFOs are demons, it makes perfect sense to think he is the Antichrist.
That's true.
If he is spawning these demons at will, that's the Antichrist.
Yeah.
But then that doesn't make any sense with Ashkar Command.
You can go a million different ways with this, and I'm not, my mind is reeling right now. I'm not even sure what exactly you just told me still.
There's too much. There's too much.
That was a crazy story that I was not expecting for this.
And it's only kind of adjacent to Ed Walters. Like, it's just that they happen to also be there. I don't know, maybe they wanted to kill him, but I can't tell for sure.
He got brought up kind of maybe a little bit, but we can't tell if it's for sure about him. But they were in Gulf Breeze, and they were labeled the Gulf Breeze 6, so I totally get why it's a part 2.
That's weird. The weird shit that happened in Gulf Breeze, Florida.
Okay, I like that. I liked it, even though I'm still going to be processing it for a while.
I don't know. It's so weird, but we just keep learning new things about MUFON where they fuck up, and I feel like at some point here we need to just cover the MUFON story.
We really do.
Feels like, it kind of feels like they're the ones that we tell people to go report to, and they have a lot of shady shit in their past.
They really,
I shouldn't say shady, a lot of screw ups in their past.
Yeah, and there's Richard Doty in their past too. So
there's Richard
Doty,
there's Bill Moore, there's the Gulf Breeze 6. Yeah. And that's just off the top of my head.
And yet they're still prominent. They're the ones
they're
that you would
who
still
you do
report
it. Yeah.
to.
Yeah.
Right? Right?
But this is where this one leaves off. So I've been Taylor, here with Chelsea. We are Journey to the Fringe. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye. I'm still feeling a little uncomfortable with that, but we'll see you later. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Journey to the Fringe. If you have liked what you have listened to, please like, share, subscribe, or follow, depending on what venue you are listening to us through. Also, please, if possible, leave a 5-star review, as that really helps us in the algorithms. Should you wish to interact with us, please check us out on your social media of choice. I bet you we are there. And if you really want to communicate with us and give us ideas for new episodes or tell us that we're wrong and terrible, either way, please send us an email at journeytothefringe@gmail.com. For now, I'll see you in the next episode.